Australia's central bank cuts interest rates to counter the economic damage from coronavirus. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. The Reserve Bank of Australia has cut interest rates to a record low of 0.5%. The bank's governor said the spread of COVID-19 is having a significant effect on the country's economy, and uncertainty about the outbreak is likely to affect domestic spending. China, the epicentre of the outbreak, is Australia's largest trading partner. Jennifer McEwen is from Capital Economics. She says the outbreak could tip the Australian economy into a recession.
It's possible that any economy could, and of course it depends as well on the number of cases within the economy itself. It's quite possible that Australia, like many other economies, will see a significant rise and that domestic spending is hit more. Australia is also quite reliant on the Chinese economy, not only for tourism, but also its mining sector is quite dependent on demand from China, which is slumping because of the virus.
There is a G7 meeting scheduled for today. That's the group of seven nations. They're expected to release some kind of joint statement. What kind of unified action could we see that group of seven nations commit to?
The G7 finance ministers and also the central banks are meeting today. So there are hopes that there could be some announcement of fiscal policy support or perhaps even a combined announcement of interest rate cuts. Now, I think this is quite difficult because the G7 economies are in different positions. For example, the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank already have negative rates, so they have limited scope to announce interest rate cuts. Some others are facing constraints on government spending. So I think probably it's going to be a more general statement about being willing to intervene where necessary and perhaps some pledge of liquidity support. So offering lots of loans to the businesses that are most affected by the virus just to try and tide them over. It's quite important at the moment that we try to avoid any layoffs by these businesses because that's what could turn this from a temporary shock into something much more permanent. If people actually lose their jobs, then you're looking at a different situation than a temporary stoppage related either to supply chain distortions or factory closures.
Jennifer McEwen of Capital Economics. One of the sectors that's been hit hardest by the spread of coronavirus is the airline industry. With flight cancellations across the globe, the body which represents airlines is now calling for changes to the way takeoff and landing slots at airports are managed. Under existing rules, airlines that don't use a slot for 80% of the available time over a season risk losing it. Head of the International Air Transport Association, Lara Morn, explains.
It's much like a restaurant reservation and you ensuring that you still have that table reservation for the period you booked for when you want to come back again. So this is about enabling the airlines to have certainty over their slots when that recovery phase comes and they've still got those slots that they already have been using for this season and plan to use next season.
IATA is contacting aviation regulators worldwide to request the rules governing the use of airport slots be suspended immediately.
This is all about flexibility to make those changes quickly, but also certainty to do them in a fashion where they're not going to be penalised for making a change to the services they have planned.
Head of the International Air Transport Association, Lara Morn. Let's do the numbers. And hopes of a coordinated G7 action plan on the coronavirus outbreak have caused European stocks to rise. Markets in London, France and Germany are up by more than 2%, although some Asian markets closed lower. Gold and oil have made gains. Paris is famous for its outdoor terraces, a place to sit down and enjoy a croissant or a glass of wine. But heating those spaces is emitting huge amounts of carbon dioxide, and that's prompting a rethink. Should heated outdoor terraces be banned? The BBC's Hugh Schofield reports from the French capital.
There are some 12,500 heated terraces in Paris today, places where even on a winter's day you can sit outside and enjoy a coffee or a cigarette without feeling the cold. However, it's also calculated that heating an average terrace over one winter uses the same energy as driving a car three times around the world. And that, for environmentalists like the Green Party mayor of the second arrondissement, Jacques Puteau, is an outrage.
We heat outside in winter. It's totally absurd. We have to stop because there is an urgency for the climate.
Outside heaters are enjoyed by smokers and non-smokers alike, but most people seem to accept the idea that their days may be numbered.
Surely, selfishly, it would be a pain if they took away the heated terraces. It's nice to smoke outside and stay warm, but of course we also have to think about what it means for the environment.
I think they are going to be banned. They are in contradiction with everything we are doing to fight climate change. It's just idiotic. We are heating up the outside.
One city in France, Rennes, has now banned heated terraces, and the cause is gaining momentum ahead of next month's town hall elections. But the decision is not straightforward. Smokers are asking where else they can go for a cigarette, and cafe owners are very worried about the impact on them. Sitting outside, snug in winter, is a very pleasant thing to do. But if fighting climate change means making adjustments to our way of life, this looks like one luxury that we may well soon have to forego. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Hugh Schofield for Marketplace.
And fast food fans in Wales have queued for 5 hours ahead of the opening of the country's first Taco Bell. The American restaurant chain now has stores in 37 UK towns and cities. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.